Nightmare for people that had to try to prepare for him because he had unique skills.
Just go get the quarterback. I felt sorry for some of those poor tackles that came in and had to go against him because they didn't realize what they were getting themselves into.
Hey, baby,
let's
go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs. Have some fun.
Lights out.
Sacking the cornerback is just like you devastate a city, or you cream a multitude of people. I mean, it's just like you put all the offensive players in one bag, and I just take a baseball bat and beat on the bag. So each time he came over there, I tried to tear his damn head off.
Let's play some football. Let's play some football.
The pressure is on. This is Off the Edge on Tide 100.9.
Focus on what you want to do, what you want to accomplish. Think about that. Don't think about how you feel, how tired you are, how hot it is. You got to push yourself on the field when you're playing football.
It's my honor to present the National Championship Trophy to Coach Nick Saban and the Alabama Crimson Tide.
To me, this is the ultimate team. All these guys bought into everything they needed to do to be the best players that they could be. There's more togetherness on this team than almost any team that we've ever had. And they had to overcome and persevere so much adversity through this season, and they've done it magnificently. And I'm so proud of this group for what they've been able to accomplish in going undefeated and winning the national championship.
Streaming live on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and the Tide 100.9 app. Here is your host of Off the Edge, Jacob Harrison.
Hello there. Good morning. Welcome in to Off the Edge. Tide 100.9, your home for Alabama Crimson Tide Sports. Jacob Harrison here with you, digital managing editor of Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa. J.R. Moore behind the glass. Joe Gaither as well helping us out this morning. We were here until 10:30 last night. From 6 until 10:30. Your boy did 5.5 hours of radio yesterday. That is worthy of the Psychotic Behavior of the Day Award around here. We had a lot of fun.
More like nerd.
Absolute nerd. Absolute nerd. Bring it on, man. I'll push my glasses up. I'll find some suspenders, tighten them up. I'm the nerd around here. We had a blast, though. Big thanks to Heat Pizza Bar for helping us put that on and providing us with some fantastic pizza. Y'all go check them out for lunch today and tell them thank you, because I got a couple of messages, and I know my mother-in-law drove for Uber last night, so if you had to listen to the show, if you were forced to listen to the show, you can also go check out Heat Pizza Bar and give them a thanks for me as well. 2256 Street over there on Government Plaza. They're hiring, by the way, for anybody that's interested in that, front and back of store, so... But in all of that 5.5 hours of radio, and in all of the lead up to this, right, and all the work I put into my mock drafts, right, I don't just sit down and just make the picks like a lot of people do, right? I put in serious work in my mock drafts. And last year's, I joked about it last night, last year's I did really well. Did really well because... It was an easy draft. It was an easy draft to predict. My final mock draft that I released earlier this week on Monday, out of all 32 picks, I got two right. I'm here to laugh at myself. I'm often incorrect, but always confidently so. Two out of 32 selections did I get right.
Tell me that you please got the Chattanooga mock selection.
No.
Cole Strange, is that his name?
Cole Strange. What a strange selection. That's the easy pun of the day. No. The selections that I got right, and one of them wasn't even in the right spot. The selections I got right were Sauce Gardner to the Jets and Devontae Wyatt just going to the Packers. I didn't get him at the right selection. Got him. He went to the 28th selection. I mocked him to the 22nd selection.
Okay, so my roommate is a Bears fan, and I just generally hate Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. So it took us probably 45 seconds to stop rolling on the ground laughing when they picked
Joe in here last
in the
night.
First round.
Oh my, Joe was losing his mind because again, do you know how long it has been since
I thought I broke a rib?
Since the Packers have selected either any of these positions, a running back, a tight end, or a wide receiver in the first round.
Now. This is where I will defend them. Yes, it has been a very long time, but they also got, and now this also may not be super helpful, but they got Jordy Nelson as the first pick of the second round, I think, in 2011. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's not like they didn't get anybody.
Yeah. And Devontae Adams was like the 53rd overall pick. I mean, second rounders, they do it a lot, and it often works out. It has been 20 years. It has been 20 years since that team has made that kind of move. And they have had, arguably, I know somebody in that production studio won't agree with me, but arguably two of the top five most talented quarterbacks to ever play in the NFL on their franchise, on their team, for well over the past 20 years. What are we, like 30, 33 years they've had that? And they're not... They've had great wide receivers, but they're not supplying those two quarterbacks, Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers. They didn't supply intentionally fantastic wide receivers by spending first-round picks.
And whether they know or care or not, that does send a message. What you do with your first-round picks sends a message. If you go get a wide receiver in the first round, it means that you're working on trying to support your quarterback or trying to bolster your offense.
Yeah, and we'll get into the Ravens situation probably in the second or third segment, but... Look at Kyler Murray getting one of his former targets in Hollywood Brown from the Ravens. You're exactly right. Kyler Murray's had a lot of this noise. He just lost Christian Kirk. He wants to get paid. Well, here, Kyler, here's as a show of good faith, here's one of your former targets who you're best friends with. Here's Hollywood Brown who wants to be in a pass-first offense. Here you go. Gift wrapped. We didn't overspend for him. On a technical scale, they did give up a first-round pick for Hollywood Brown, and that is kind of mind-blowing to me. But on a technical scale, the value matches out. But it does send a message for Lamar Jackson. Hey, we're going to help you keep you upright by drafting Tyler Linderbaum. We're going to help open up some run lanes, too, for J.K. Dobbins once he gets back. What you do sends a message. Hey, Mitchell Trubisky, you're not the long-term option here in Pittsburgh. Kenny Pickett is. You're here to help in that transition and to help yourself get back to a starting status in this league in 2021. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. It sends a message in what you want to do with your team.
And the Packers absolutely know that because they drafted Jordan Love 3 years ago. They know exactly what message their draft picks send in the first round, what they do with their picks.
And, you know, Jordan Love's not going to see the field as a Packer. He might as well be on the trading block with Baker Mayfield. This doesn't make sense.
But arguably also one of their best picks in the NFL draft recently because it kind of boosted Aaron Rodgers to want to play better. I don't know.
I mean, Aaron Rodgers was already playing at an MVP level.
Yeah, but he was annoyed with the pick.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Decided to win an MVP.
Yeah, you know, the F the World tour of Aaron Rodgers that mimicked the Tom Brady one from not so long ago. But you look up and down the NFL draft, this was utter chaos, and it made for such a fun time. Now, the NFL took about 8 more commercial breaks than I would have liked them to have. But nonetheless, it was a ton of fun last night going through all that, seeing all the stories unfold. Let's start with our Alabama guys. Let's do the right thing and start with the landing spots for both Evan Neal and Jameson Williams. Evan Neal first. First of all, put this in perspective. The first 5 selections of this NFL draft, including one made by the team that selected Evan Neal, were all defensive players. Trayvon Walker, we'll talk about that. Aiden Hutchinson, Derek Stingley, Sauce Gardner, Kayvon Thibodeau. The very next player is Ikem Ekwonu, who fits what the Panthers need better than Evan Neal does, I think. It might be a weird way of understanding. He fits better.
My frustrations with them picking Ikem over Evan or picking an offensive lineman in general over Evan is who are you protecting? You're investing this amount of money now to protect
somebody in the future.
Yeah, somebody in the future. I don't know. I just felt.
I like building your offensive line first because look at it from my perspective. I don't want Kenny Pickett playing behind the Steelers' current offensive line. I would rather Mitch Trubisky have to deal with that personal hell. And next year you spend some picks but
your offensive tackle is not going to be selling season tickets.
No, he's not. Absolutely. But the Panthers are also aware of this. That's their only pick until like 140 something. If they would have picked a quarterback, how was that guy supposed to succeed? Like if you spent everything you had on a Deshaun Watson, at least you know Deshaun Watson is going to just make stuff happen, you know, because you know he's elite. If you spend that pick on Malik Willis or Kenny Pickett and they have to win the job over Sam Darnold, you're really putting them in a bad situation to just flat out not be successful.
So do you have the Carolina Panthers not moving up anymore?
They can't.
They're just not going to pick a quarterback?
They don't have a way to. I think they could make something happen for the Browns. Baker Mayfield, he has reached status of forgetting his name. I think they'll make a play for Baker Mayfield, but I think the Seahawks have something a little bit more interesting named DK Metcalf to play with. The Panthers don't have anything like that. So, I mean, maybe. They've got a good wide receiver. I don't know if it'll move the needle the same way. But overall, I think that's the way they're going to have to go. Maybe make a trade for Jordan Love. I don't know. But it makes sense all the way down the board. So, Evan Neal, fantastic value. At 7, the second offensive player selected in the draft. Yes, he's also the second offensive lineman, but that's not the important factor there. And yes, Evan Neal's not going to play left tackle in New York. And while long-term, that might sound annoying, first of all, Andrew Thomas, not a completely in-stone left tackle for the Giants for the next 10 years. Really struggled as a rookie, and he improved in his second year. So you'll have to kind of see how that continues to develop. Now, if you're Daniel Jones or whoever the future quarterback of the New York Giants is, I think you look at Andrew Thomas as your left tackle and Evan Neal as your right tackle, and you feel pretty good about everything. I think because there are good pass rushers in the NFC East. DeMarcus Lawrence is about the closest thing you get to elite. So you're not really running for your lives. Hold up. I forgot he got hurt last year. Chase Young is in that division. I apologize to Chase Young. But he's still got to come back from the injury. And that means we get Evan Neal versus Chase Young twice a year on Fox and America's Game of the Year week or whatever. So, hey, that's fun. But it is a solid situation for Evan Neal. Financially, you know, you can make a lot of money as the right tackle, not as much as the left tackle. So I don't know if he's the Giants' long-term solution unless Andrew Thomas doesn't work out. And that's a bizarro world kind of situation where you're not necessarily hoping that your teammate fails, but you got to get the bag. You're a left tackle. So it's a solid situation for him, peak value for him, brilliant move on the Giants to go ahead and take the best defensive player on their board, and then take the best offensive player on their board. That's how you win the draft. Better than trading back, especially since nobody wanted to come up. It worked out. It worked out fantastic for the Giants. For Evan Neal, it's going to be a long story to develop whether or not it is the best move for him, right? He can make the most of it. If Andrew Thomas ends up not being the guy long term, he moves the left tackle. It's a very similar situation to the Jags had he went first overall to Jacksonville. Then we move to the 12th overall pick. I was more bummed out for Jameson Williams getting selected by the Detroit Lions than anything else that happened.
I was too.
That was rough.
Like, I almost wanted to, like, wake up this morning and play taps while I was in the shower. Like, it's enough of cannon, like in the Hunger Games.
I mean,
career gone.
This is
forever.
It's rough, man.
They've had successful offensive players, yes, and they've had successful wide receivers. Megatron, yeah, it is possible, but the likelihood.
Mason Woods and I share memes with each other quite often, and the best one that he sent me was the Heaven Pearly Gates, and it's got Megatron and Barry Sanders on it, and it's got J-Mo doing the Crimson Crane point
like
towards the
dead,
gates.
Yeah,
because it's where fantastic players go to die. And waste 9 years of their career and then retire because they've lost.
Or go
the will
to another
to
team
live.
And win a Super Bowl.
I mean, it is nauseating. And you know, a lot of people looked at Jameson Williams' face right after he was selected, and they're like, "Oh, I don't think he liked that at all."
Who would be?
But who would be excited that a team that needs everything gave up entirely way too much to move 20 spots to take a player that they can't take full advantage of because Jared Goff has one of the weakest arms among the perennial starters in the NFL. How is Jameson Williams supposed to really feel about that? The other thing that blew me away was that he ended up being the fourth wide receiver selected. Blew me away that both Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave went before him. And the fact that that maybe had to sneak into the back of JMO's mind too is the guys that were ahead of him at Ohio State both ended up going before him. And I mean right before him. The Jets go with Garrett Wilson instead of Jameson Williams. I will say, you know, I made fun of myself earlier. I did get a lot of positions right. So I at least understood the need. It just wasn't the player. But Garrett Wilson. Then the Saints trade up, and you're like, oh, that's J-Mo. Oh, that's J-Mo, easy. And you got a lot of Alabama fans who thought that's exactly what was going to happen. And no, it's Chris Olave, who the Saints probably could have had they stayed put at 15, right? Now, the Texans wanted to move back, obviously, with their selection of Kenyon Green. They wanted more value there. And the Seahawks and the Saints, they created a situation for themselves where they kind of showed their hand that they really wanted to trade up as well. So it made sense to move up, but you could have had J-Mo. And not only that, the original team at 11, the Washington Commanders, they could have had J-Mo. They traded back and got the worst version of J-Mo. They went and got Jahan Dotson, who's not a bad football player. He's fantastic. He's great. He's very much worth the first round pick. But he's a smaller, not as talented version of Jameson Williams. You're telling me an ACL tear is what keeps J-Mo from going to hometown places like hometown. I mean, he's not from Alabama, but fan bases that would love to have him in Atlanta and New Orleans and a perfect fit with a team that has a cannon arm quarterback in New York with the Jets. And instead, all of these fantastic fits, and I mentioned it last night during the draft show. The funny thing about mock drafts is that everybody wins. The fits always make perfect sense. The teams are always making the best decisions. And make no mistake, this is a brilliant decision by Detroit, with the exception of how much they gave up in the second round to move up. I didn't agree with that. But I mean, you went and got what I think is one of the top eight or so players in this draft at 12. That's a good move by Detroit, all things considered. But is an ACL tear where you know the guy is going to be available for the regular season, is that really the difference in being the first wide receiver selected in the fourth? Because I think you could look around in a lot of different places, and you saw a lot of of analysts that thought that J-Mo would be the first wide receiver taken. And if not the first, then he would go after either Drake London or Garrett Wilson. So when those two went ahead of him, it wasn't quite as surprising. When Chris Olave went, that's when I was surprised. And then, of course, the Lions moved up.
I just want to get your feelings on, and I'm not trying to sway you anyway, but Jameson going to Alabama and then two of his former teammates getting picked right before him. Does that mean anything on how he played or about the injury? Just your thoughts.
Yeah, I think I touched on this a little bit when you were on the phone. I think it's got to weigh on him a little bit. I think it's got to weigh on him just a little bit, you know, because for so long you were kind of, no, it's okay. For so long you were kind of put ahead of them, right? You were expected to have completely undone that.
And then for a year you get the stuff on Twitter about Ohio State fans say we don't need you, you're not good enough to play here anyway.
Right. And now those people are vindicated. Like, they're proven right almost. And now they have to watch you go to Detroit, you know, hey, Garrett
Wilson.
Where
they may still continue to be right because of Detroit.
Exactly.
Being so bad.
Garrett Wilson gets Zach Wilson throwing him the ball. Zach Wilson hasn't proven himself yet, but at least he's got a cannon arm. At least he's run out of excuses to be a bad football player. New Orleans, Chris Olave, he gets Jameis Winston, who had a fantastic year up until he got hurt last year, coming back ready to throw him the ball. And they got Trevor Penning to help keep Jameis upright. It's got to be somewhat nauseating, I think, to Jameson Williams. Now, here's the thing. He'll shut all that noise out because he did that when he came to Alabama. I remember some sort of Snapchat video or whatever that circulated where he was like, "Nah, man, Ohio State's dead to me. You know, they did what they did. They're dead to me. I'm here with the Alabama Crimson Tide, and I'm ready to put in the work." And that's what he did. He went out and became the best receiver in college football, was better than all three of the guys selected before him, and made a name for himself. And to the point, he was so dominant that Alabama fans, who for the past, 13 years, have joked about the Colt McCoy joke, what if Colt McCoy hadn't gotten hurt in that national championship? Well, now you got the same people that made that joke leaning on J-Mo saying the same thing, because that's how impactful he was. That's how dominant he was. That was how the best defense in college football, the Georgia Bulldogs, couldn't stop Jameson Williams. And so he's vindicated in his own way. Detroit is on a line, I think. And I think they're playing this game patiently, and I think they're playing it wisely. I think they made the right move in Aiden Hutchinson. I like Aiden Hutchinson. High floor, low ceiling. But when your floor is already kind of that high, when you're already relatively close to elite, and we don't know if you can get better, I still think that's a fantastic selection for them. I think Kayvon Thibodeau probably would have been better, but you do get the hometown discount there a little bit in getting Aiden Hutchinson. Now you get J-Mo. Last year you got kind of a surprise in St. Brown, in Amon-Ra St. Brown, who had a fantastic rookie season. Towards the end of the season, Jared Goff started to click a little bit with that offense, and they started to feel just a little bit better, you know, getting themselves out of having the first overall selection. Honestly, they're not going to win with Jared Goff, the Detroit Lions. Jared Goff's not going to be able to take advantage of Jameson Williams' talents. They're probably still going to be picking top three next year. And this is where I made the comment to Mason Woods last night after Jameson's selection about that exact thing. The Lions probably still pick top three next year. So either they get their quarterback, Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud, or they get Will Anderson. And you pair Will Anderson with Aiden Hutchinson. Think about that for 5 seconds. Think about two of the only pass rushers in the past decade, next to Chase Young, who are able to go to New York for the Heisman ceremony. Because this year, Will Anderson's going to go. Think about that. A Will Anderson next to Aiden Hutchinson. Or on the other side of that, Bryce Young married back up with Jameson Williams. C.J. Stroud married back up with Jameson Williams as well. There's a lot there. A lot to like and a lot to love. Again, in case you missed it, Evan Neal It's a solid pick for the Giants. Long term, Neal might be on his way out, or he might have to hope that Andrew Thomas doesn't pan out so that he can move to left tackle, make the most amount of money. Jameson Williams, it sucks now. It could suck a little bit less later, but with how volatile these wide receiver markets are as well, if he proves what he can be, he might not have to be in Detroit all that long. He might not have to make it out of his rookie contract. We just saw two guys last night be traded for first round picks while they're still in their rookie contracts. So the bizarro world of this NFL draft, it really came to a head, and it made a massive impact on Jameson Williams. We'll take a break. We'll come back, head to the phone lines to talk with our friend Cowboy next here on Off the Edge. Tide 100.9, your home for Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
The sky partly to mostly sunny this afternoon. The high today, 83. Fair tonight with a low at 62. Tomorrow, a mix of sun and clouds. A chance of widely scattered showers. The high, 84. Sunday, a chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms with a high at 82. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 78 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
We aren't going anywhere. Off the Edge is available in the podcast center on Tide100.9.com.
Back here on Off the Edge, Tide 100.9, your home for Alabama Crimson Tide. Sports set out to the phone line. Welcome in our friend Cowboy. What's going on, Cowboy?
Oh, I just listened to you guys talking there, and I got to take an objection to you guys saying the Ohio State fans were vindicated on Jameson Williams. That's not even comparing apples to apples, you know, because or apples to oranges somewhat, because Jameson got hurt. Olave and Garrett, they did not get hurt. If Jameson wouldn't have got hurt, how can you say that? You know,
I didn't. Let me clarify. I'm not saying that they are vindicated. I'm saying they can feel vindicated, based off of their perspective. They could feel that because they saw both of their receivers. Remember, a lot of fans are very short-sighted in this. They just see that J-Mo went after their Ohio State guys and they said, ha-ha, we told you. We told you he wasn't good enough. They don't care that he tore his ACL. So I'm saying it's from their perspective. I'm not saying they're justified in it. I'm saying they can feel that way.
Well, I mean, if they got any ration of common sense or any kind of intelligence, then they can't say that because their two players in – and Jameson Williams, the comparables and the bodies were not all the same.
No, you're a funny man. Yankees and common sense.
Coming from a Yankee over there. I mean, I'm talking about the common fan. I like the most bare bones, doesn't really hardly even watch the draft, you know, ask where their guys went. You know, I'm not talking about like the most in-depth guys like you and I, Cowboy. I mean, I'm not rationalizing for them. I'm saying that's just a way that they could feel, and I wouldn't be surprised if you load up Twitter or Facebook and you see those kind of comments where they're like, ha, told you. We told you he was better. And then next year, Smith and Jigba is going to go higher than all three of those guys did. He's probably going to be a top five talent, and they're gonna bolster it even more. It's just the feed into the rivalry kind of thing. They may not even say it with total sincerity. It's just a perspective that they could have. And then you get into the NFL side of it. And like I said, I mean, Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave both wound up in better situations with better quarterbacks that can take advantage of their talents than J-Mo did landing in Detroit, where Jared Goff can't throw the ball far enough, you know, can't loft the ball high enough to really take advantage of what J-Mo can do best.
Time out. That leads me to this point. I tried to make it this morning, but Gary Harris, I don't guess he was seeing where I'm going with this. I think the Detroit Lions drafted Jameson Williams, and they gave up what they did for him in the second round, thinking, well, okay, we know who the top quarterback in the draft's going to be next year.
Mm-hmm.
And if we, by our history, don't do much better next year in the season, maybe we can get this thing put together right where we can have a quality big time football team because we'll be younger in the division. You got your defensive guy in Hutchinson. Who knows if he's going to pan out or not? And then they build more in the defensive side on the draft this year. And then next year, if you go 3-13, 4-12, whatever, you'll be high up in the draft. And maybe you can position yourself to get a Bryce Young, and then Bill O'Brien might be there as a head coach available that has coached him and saying Campbell doesn't survive. And I may be crazy in thinking this, but they got a reason why they moved this up. He's going to play at least 8 games a year in Detroit on that fast surface. His whole family's track stars. You got to look beyond the forest and the trees.
Oh, yeah. No, and I suggested I like that. I suggested that as well, that's probably a way they're going. And I don't know if Dan Campbell gets fired after another year. I think they are purposefully building this team in his image and that they're playing a very patient game. I think they're playing a smart game. And I agree. I think for the Lions, it's a fantastic pick. For J-Mo, we have to wait and see if that's the way it pans out. I still think if you look into the crystal ball of what the top three is next year, it's some combination of any of these four teams. The Atlanta Falcons, the Houston Texans, the Carolina Panthers, and the Detroit Lions. So one of those teams should be in position for either a Bryce Young, a Will Anderson, or a C.J. Stroud. And if not them, probably Smith and Jigba, the wide receiver from Ohio State. And whoever else seems to climb the board, because we sure as hell weren't talking about Trayvon Walker this time last year. But I agree with you on that, and it was something I brought up earlier too. Either you're going to pair Aiden Hutchinson with Will Anderson, or you're going to pair Jameson Williams with a quarterback that he has played football with before. And both of those are just solid, fantastic options that both fit the mold of what Dan Campbell wants in his offense.
And it's a plan that'll work out no matter what coach you have.
Exactly. Yeah, even if you do fire Dan Campbell. That's bulletproof.
Right. And, you know, Dan Campbell, he's a real big Bill Parcells guy. He played for Parcells and Sean Payton. So, you know, they like to get over the top on the defense. So, you know, I think Detroit, you know, nobody likes Detroit, but I'm trying to really, really give them some credit here. And maybe they can build a team, you know. Maybe they can. Because that division.
I hope so for J-Bo's sake.
Hey, I've always wanted the Detroit Lions to be good, but they never can, so I don't really talk much about it. But I remember as a kid, I always kind of, you know, I don't necessarily like, you know, but I wanted them to beat the 49ers that time when they lost with that last-second field goal out there. I guess in the 80s they had a decent team, whoever was on that, I can't remember.
Yeah, but I've got family ties to the Lions. One of my great-grandparents was one of the architects that helped build Ford Field. So I've got some love for Detroit, but and Michigan as well. So I think it's really cool that Aiden Hutchinson went to Detroit. But I mean, it's one of those things you gotta do it eventually. I mean, the fact that Matthew Stafford left Detroit and in that first year went to a Super Bowl and won the whole damn thing, it shows what you've been sitting on all these years. It's more than just taking good players. It's actually surrounding them with other good players. You're going to be picking top 10 all the time. You got to start surrounding these guys with something that they can work with.
Yeah, I can't stand the Rams. Oh, well, whatever. Hey, tonight, the second round and third round. This is when the draft really gets good. If you like to, you like to play amateur general manager sometimes like I do, then you know you're going to have some puzzles being put together tonight. Matt Corral and this Malik Willis. And I know your Steelers didn't take Malik, and you had told me you thought they would, but so much for that.
Yeah.
where do you think Corral ends up? Maybe in New Orleans in a second pick, or
well,
or
see
maybe
a lot
Tennessee?
Of. I thought the Lions were going to be in play for one. I thought they would have been a team that could have had that kind of perspective on it. I don't know. Who's to say Tampa doesn't surprise and take one? I know they took Kyle Trask last year early in the second round. Who's to say that they don't? I think Seattle is probably going to take Desmond Ridder early on. I think they like him a lot. As far as Matt Corral goes, I mean, Detroit comes back at 46. Washington is at 47. And the Saints are at 49. Those are the real quarterback needy teams that I think that are going to that have a system that is actually patient to wait on one of these guys. I think
Tennessee somebody
Tennessee could, yeah. But here's the thing with that. They don't have a pick in the second round. They gave that up for Julio. So they would have to give up a lot to go get a quarterback that's going to sit behind Ryan Tannehill. And
I guess they hope he falls in the three rings then, maybe.
Yeah, somebody could. I mean, the fact that only one quarterback went in the first round really kind of tells you what the NFL thinks of this class and how they would prefer to just wait until next year with Bryce Young and CJ Stroud. And I mean, guys like Phil Yurkovich, there's a lot of quarterbacks that we anticipate should be good. You know, if DJ Uiagalelei decides to put it together and be a good quarterback, I mean, that's four guys right there. And there's plenty others to look at as well. So I think Desmond Ridder probably goes to the Seahawks rather early. But as for Corral and Malik, and I don't know. I think Malik might make some sense in New Orleans if they want to get some insurance behind Jameis Winston in case they don't want to pay him again. It's tough. It's tough.
Baker Mayfield, I guess he's not going to end up in Seattle probably, or even if they draft Ridder, you think?
See, that's the other thing. I think Seattle actually has the best shot to trade for Baker Mayfield. So if they like Baker more, they could. But if they were going to make that move, maybe they do it last night with all those other wide receiver trades.
I was just going to say for Baker, you know, whatever is closest to the State Farm headquarters is probably worth it.
Yeah. But, yeah, you're right. You know, Baker Mayfield, I would say, at this point in time, is a better option than the Ridder, wouldn't you?
Yeah. I like Baker. He's not great. He's far from elite, but you can win with him. Seattle doesn't have a lot of winners on that team anymore. I mean, they're all gone. And with Ridder, I mean, you're just going to have to be patient and let the team kind of evolve around him. And with Baker, if you make that move, it's like, oh, we think we can win right now. And you can't, you know, you don't win because of Baker. You win with him.
Here's what they might do is take the Ridder tonight and still come at Cleveland, but they got more leverage with what Cleveland wants now. If you got the Ridder and kind of say, hey, we like the guy, but you know, we got this guy, we can't, you know, your asking price is too much, and they don't want him in town before the end of the summer, you know.
That would be an interesting quarterback room though, if you went with Ridder and Baker, because Drew Lock is still there. He was a part of the Russell Wilson trade, and for all intents and purposes, right now he's the starting quarterback. So that would be kind of bizarre. I got to run, Cowboy. I appreciate the conversation,
all right,
man.
Good talk with you.
Absolutely. This quarterback, it's such a weird space all the way around. The teams you thought that would be desperate enough are playing it patient and making smarter football moves. And if you see desperation out of any position, it's wide receiver. It's the most unpredictable draft we've ever seen. And tonight it's only going to get more and more crazy. You know, last night I mentioned that what John Metchie wanted to happen was Christian Watson and George Pickens and Sky Moore to all be first round picks so that he could go higher in the second round. That didn't happen. All three of those guys are going to go within the first 10 to 15 picks of the second round, which pushes John Metchie down the board. So it's a wild draft all the way around. Not to mention this is prime opportunity for teams that do want to take a chance on one of these quarterbacks to move up and do it. So it's a difficult space all the way around. When we come back, we'll talk with Corey. We'll discuss the Ravens and the Steelers and what they've done as well, since we got a resident AFC North rivals here on Fridays on Off the Edge. We'll be right back here on Tide 100.9.
People who suck. Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Sky partly to mostly sunny this afternoon. The high today, 83. Fair tonight with a low at 62. Tomorrow, a mix of sun and clouds. A chance of widely scattered showers. The high, 84. Sunday, a chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms for the high at 82. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 78 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Follow Off Off the Edge on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube for live streams and instant analysis. Off the Edge with Jacob Harrison continues.
Back here on Tide 100.9, Off the Edge. Jacob Harrison here with you alongside J.R. Moore talking NFL draft, getting ready for, again, another night of it, the second and third rounds. That's when we're going to hear a lot of Alabama names tonight. We'll hear John Metchie, Christian Harris, Fedarian Mathis, Brian Robinson, probably hear Jalen Armour Davis as well. It's going to be a fun night for Crimson Tide fans and the NFL drafts, the second and third rounds tonight. Let's head out back to the phone line and talk with our friend Corey. What's going on, Corey?
Hey, Jacob. How you doing this morning?
I'm doing all right. I won't know how I feel about Kenny Pickett for another 4 years before you ask.
Well, I want to ask you this. Does it do anything for you that Georgia set a record for most defensive players set in a round, knowing that Alabama's a defense prides itself on defense, or does that not really do anything for you?
I think Georgia earned it. You know, Kirby Smart is just—he's a fantastic defensive mind, and he's a fantastic defensive recruiter. You look at his class this year; I think he's got like four or five stars, and they're all defensive players. So, hats off to him. Hats off to a guy who had less than 10 sacks in his entire Georgia career going first overall.
If all of those five stars stay there, sorry.
Oh, yeah, they have to stay there. No, you're absolutely right about that. I will say this. They didn't get six guys in to tie the first round record for most overall players. But, I mean, they had guys sneak in there that folks just didn't. You know, Lewisine is a guy that I love. I think he's a fantastic NFL prospect. Playing for the Vikings, I mean, he's going to be a dude up there paired with Harrison Smith. But a lot of people didn't know that didn't think that he was a bona fide first round selection. And who is the linebacker that the Packers took? Quay Walker was a guy that was kind of a late bloomer in the process to become what he is. And N'Kobe Dean will go relatively early in the second round, and Darian Kendrick will go pretty soon as well. But I think it speaks more to the future of Georgia that George Pickens is probably going to go today as well. I mean, he's almost definitely going to go today. But if that's the case, all these defensive guys, yeah, you won a championship off of it. But all these defensive guys, you got to be able to start recruiting offense eventually. And sure, fantastic. You got your own little record after you won your national championship. But the longevity of it, it's not like it really boosts them into some stratosphere because they're already good at that. They're already good at recruiting defense. So this being one more pitch for Kirby Smart doesn't really change what he's already been good at, because what he needs is a guy like Arch Manning to come in and prove that he can recruit quarterbacks and develop quarterbacks and send them to the NFL to really reach the next stratosphere of his development as a head coach and his efforts to create a new empire in college football. Until he's able to do that, this is just the icing on the cake for all of his efforts over the past 10 years or however long he's been at Georgia. And so it doesn't faze me quite as much, because it's still going to be a long time coming before he's approaching Nick Saban's records for first rounders. And this doesn't really kind of even scratch the surface for me on that.
As far as Alabama goes, do you think there's any chance Brian Robinson might go in the third round, or is it going to be more of tomorrow?
I think he goes today. I think he goes in the third round today. I'm pretty confident in that.
Well, what do you think would be a good fit for him?
I like the Washington Commanders for him. I like the idea of them getting back into taking some Alabama guys. But, I mean, he's one of those. You look around the league, you know, because the easy answer would be Buffalo. But Buffalo is going to take Breece Hall or Kenneth Walker. They're going to take one of the best running backs to kind of fill out their roster. So it's not going to be something like that. But he is going to go somewhere where he can be a part of a committee, but that he'll be a able to kind of carve out a dominant role in that committee and be somebody that could be very valuable to an offense right out of the bat. And I think Washington's a good place for that.
Let me ask you this. Let's say Pittsburgh already had a franchise quarterback and they wanted to pick a receiver from yesterday. Who would you have wanted them to have taken yesterday if a receiver was in play?
Sky Moore.
Pittsburgh needs receivers. In the first round, who would you have wanted them to have taken?
Well, they can still take one today. I still think John Metchie is in play for them, as is the guy that I'm going to name as the answer for that, and that's Sky Moore. Western Michigan guy who's kind of a small volume receiver. He's not a slot though, and you still kind of if the Steelers go the way I think they are, and that's putting Chase Claypool as a big slot and keep Deontay Johnson on the outside, then Sky Moore on the other side of that to be another volume guy, I think that fits in really well. And the other guy would be Christian Watson, who's the North Dakota State guy, who's just a big, speedy burner, who I think would be more of what they thought Chase Claypool was going to be. And again, Chase can play that big slot and not really have to catch all those 50-50 balls that he's not very good at catching. And instead, you can kind of give those to Christian Watson, see if he can do it better.
Do you ever look at – oh, another player I was thinking about, and I know he might be a free agent guy. He might be a seventh-round guy, but you know Spencer Brown from UAB?
Running back? I have no idea.
Does any of the interns know who I'm talking about?
No interns today, and JR doesn't.
No interns, but JR is here, and he has no idea who the hell you're talking about.
If you want a UAB guy to root for, it's Alex Wright. Alex Wright's going to hear his name today. Big defensive end.
Well, the reason why I say that is Spencer Brown was a pretty good running back, and he might be seventh round or free agent, but he had a really good career there, and really good running back, and I just thought for what he did there, and I just thought that maybe just somebody I'm pulling for, and just thought that maybe he'd have a shot and see what he could do.
More power to him.
But,
I don't know.
But. But as far as Alabama today, I'm trying to think. Probably running back, but John Metchie Christian Harris will be a good fit for Christian Harris.
Well, I'm sorry, Corey, I didn't hear you.
Yeah, Christian Harris, the linebacker, was out hitting Henry Toa Toa.
Oh, who I think is going to be in that space?
Yeah, who either will be a good fit for him or a good pick?
I like Deontay Lawson. Deontay Lawson's my guy. Now he didn't rotate with the
No. Where do you think he'll go?
Oh well, that's next year. I don't know.
Christian
Harris.
No. Yeah, Christian Harris.
Oh, okay.
Today, where do you think he might end up?
See, I think his stock is really hurting from yesterday. I think the fact that Devin Lloyd went late and the fact that Quay Walker went so early and was the first linebacker taken, it's going to depend a lot on how the NFL values its off-ball linebackers. Because if you like a guy like Chad Muma more, then you like a guy like Christian Harris, then it's going to make it more and more difficult for him to go. A place that I think makes a lot of sense for him is the Houston Texans, but if that's the case, he's probably going to have to wait until the third round for that to work out.
I got you, because he was a really good linebacker. This past year, he did a really good job, but just like you said, when players start going ahead of them, especially players we don't expect, it hurts. And so I'd say one thing before I go, I hated that James Williams went to the Lions. Especially what you said with the quarterback there, but I wanted him to really go to the Saints because with Michael pairing it with Michael Thomas. But it is what it is, and hope you guys enjoy the rest of the draft.
Absolutely, Corey. We appreciate it, man. Take it easy. Little last minute news: Josh Jacobs, his fifth year option has been declined by the Las Vegas Raiders. Interesting. The Jay Barker Show is up next. I'll see y'all on Monday. So y'all take it easy. Have a fantastic weekend. Keep up with the NFL draft over at Tide109.com. We'll keep you informed on all of your Alabama guys and where they land and reaction to it all as well. Y'all take it easy. Have a fantastic weekend and roll Tide.